Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome in to the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We got a whole lot going on the program today. A lot of Titans talk to get into with reports out there that the Titans are moving on from Will Levis and Mason Rudolph as starting quarterback this week. We'll get more into that throughout the program today. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the show. Joe Rexrow, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, has Kuharsky confirmed this news?
Haven't seen it.
Paul Kuharsky, what are we doing, Kuharsky? What are we doing, man? I want some confirmation. Don't come in here talking reports, Kuharsky. You better come in here bringing facts. Spitting straight facts.
Spit.
About Will Levis.
That's right.
But yes, it appears that who does get credit by those? Pelissero?
It's Jeremy Fowler's first one I saw.
Jeremy Fowler. Apparently that is it. It's interesting. It's very interesting to me that Jeremy Fowler was given the go ahead to report this by whoever gave him that, because you know, you figure maybe, you know, the Titans would rather wait until Callahan talks about it today, but I guess you could also, I guess there's also the, you know, everybody get used to the idea of the news.
Well, it just made me
talks about it.
Glad that we didn't spend an entire show yesterday talking about how he was going to get benched.
Yeah.
And then he didn't get benched.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That was good.
It's all right. Hypothetical show every once in a while. Not the worst thing. But yes, you were right.
Wow. Robbie and Rexro did 3 hours yesterday on the Titans moving on from Will Levis. And then he played that week.
I mean, look, man, there's another show on this station that has complete fantasy instead of reality on it.
That is true.
So, your instincts were right. And the way I look at it is that's it. That's it for Will Levis as anything but, you know, a member of the team who's viewed as more of a backup than as any sort of franchise quarterback.
Yes.
Possibility.
I would agree with that. We'll take your thoughts on that throughout the show today. 615-737-1025, our phone number, our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The YouTube chat, we welcome that as well. It was flowing yesterday. It'll be flowing again today, so we appreciate that. So here was the tweet from Jeremy Fowler. It says, the Tennessee Titans are planning to make a switch at quarterback this week, sources tell ESPN. Mason Rudolph is the logical candidate to step in for starter Will Levis, who likely heads to the bench, barring surprise. So, I guess there's some wiggle room there. But I love how he's like, the likely candidate is Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Right now, he's the only candidate.
Right, yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, we already know who the other guy is. Yeah, barring this being an inaccurate report, this is an accurate report.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Got it.
Good to point out. So I would expect that today, when Brian Callahan speaks, it will be Mason Rudolph as our starting quarterback this week. Now, what's going to be interesting is he going to say Mason Rudolph is our starting quarterback this week, or Mason Rudolph is our starting quarterback, barring injury, the rest of the season here for the next three games? I don't know. Like, is Brian Callahan going to go down that road and fully commit to that? I don't know. But I think, Joe, when you make this move, like, it's one thing when Levis has a banged-up shoulder earlier in the year and you're going with Rudolph and you're trying to give Levis some time to heal back up. Like, this feels like a decision is made. That's what it feels like. Now, you know, earlier this year, the Colts benched Anthony Richardson for 2 weeks, and Carolina benched Bryce Young, and then he got back in there. But at this point of the year with 3 weeks left, it kind of feels like a referendum on Levis from the coaching staff.
Exactly. You know, they had their own thing like that. It was an injury, which, again, speaking of, you know, some people wanting to live in fantasy, oh, fake teams, blah, blah, you know, it was a real injury, but it served as the same sort of thing, right, a benching. And then he came back well. He played well after it. We were talking not very long ago at all about, okay, well, you know, certainly at least as like the guy who gets next year as they try to fix other things. And yeah, it's just, I think the first pick the other day is like, that's just the play to me. And I know there was a pick six later on, but that first pick is just like one of those, man, like, first of all, there's two receivers in the area. I'm not even sure still which one you were targeting, but how do you make such an ill-advised decision, you know? And at that point, it's just like, how do you feel confident that not only, again, the decision, but also where the ball sprang is going to be reliable? I mean, I think that play summed it up for me. Like, yeah, it's just at some point it's like, man, it's just not good enough.
Well, and the other thing about all those, the turnovers the other day, you know, other than the fumble, obviously, where you're just getting the ball knocked out of your hand, but on the interceptions, the pressure wasn't really that bad. Like, it wasn't under – like, he was under a huge amount of duress on those plays, which also is like, all right, if you've got, you know, six defensive players in your face and you're trying to just chuck it up there and get rid of the ball, it's still not a good decision, but it's like, okay, well, at least I understand you're under pressure there, and that's what leads to the inaccuracy.
Right.
I mean, he had a clean pocket on these plays and still ends up turning the ball over that way. So I do think that's important to point out. Like, those are – when you've got a clean pocket and you've got time to throw and make decisions and go through your reads and you still end up doing that, that's not good.
Right. And I'm sure there's some effect of the pass rush on him, you know, and maybe rushing some things. I have said before, I've been impressed this year with on a lot of plays of him standing in there, but maybe some of the seeing ghosts have been part of it. You can certainly, if you want, you can blame a lot of other things too, for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, like, that's why that job is what it is. That's why it's the hardest job, the most compensated job, and all that stuff. You know, very few people figure out how to do it at a high enough level to keep these jobs for very long.
No doubt. And look, this is not necessarily. I mean, if you've been watching Levis play all year and you've been watching the way this has gone for the team as a whole all year, this is not a huge surprise that at the end of this year, he's headed to the bench. It does underscore just what a colossal failure this year has been, though. Like, heading into this year, you're hoping to find out that if you're not totally finding out that he's your future and your franchise quarterback, you're at least hoping that he starts leaning in that direction. And the fact that you've made it 14 games into the season, and it feels like the determination has been made on him, and the determination in the negative, not the positive, has been made on him, and you're about to get back into quarterback wilderness. I mean, it just underscores what a colossal failure this season is. And I got a little bit more to say about that a little bit later in the show in terms of the larger scope of the failure of this group and this franchise right now. But regardless of your thoughts on Levis, if you hated the pick from the start, if you were optimistic heading into the year and you faded since then, if you were a big-time Levis supporter and you fell off the cliff on Sunday based on the way that he played, which we've seen basically all of those this week in our reaction here, the bottom line is that's what this year was about, was the Titans hoping that he's the guy and proving that he is moving forward, and the fact that we've reached this conclusion now and he's to the bench and it feels like they're moving on from him just underscores the colossal failure of this football season for the Titans.
Well, I mean, you weren't guaranteed to find out. They found out. How do you not call that a success? You got an actual answer during the season. Right? I mean,
you know what? You're right.
I mean, you did at least come to the answer.
You did.
And if you had to wait another offseason before waiting for the answer, it's like getting an incomplete in school.
Yeah.
Sometimes just take the D.
You know what? You know what?
You take the D, you get on to the next semester.
You're right. This whole thing's been worth it. Whole year.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Fret not, Titans fans. They figured it out.
Yeah. Well,
now, to your point, though, what were we talking about 2 weeks ago? It's like, wow, you know, Levis has played better since he's come back from the injury, and maybe given the other options or lack thereof that are out there at quarterback, which there's another one that's just available, by the way, I think, which we'll get into a little bit later in the program. Maybe he's back next year as the starting quarterback, and you're running this thing back. Doesn't feel like that's going to happen now with this decision being made.
No. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of things will be asked today. I'm very interested. I mean, look, I expect Brian Callahan to be sort of, you know, the same idea that he said, which is like, no, you know, this doesn't mean anything as a final answer. I mean, of course, you know, like what else would you say? No one's going to get up there and say, guys, this means I'm out on him. I don't think he's good enough. And frankly, I need to distance myself from him. So, yeah, sorry. I mean, he's not going to say stuff like that. He's going to try to be encouraging, and it's true. Three, who knows? At some point down the road, Will Levis could get a lot better and can get another chance. But an interesting thing here is, do they want him on the roster next year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's like $4 million or whatever, 4.8 in dead money. You know, I mean, you need depth. Like right now, they probably wouldn't hate having Malik Willis still, you know? So, you know, you still need depth at every position. He could, again, compete with a rookie, be a placeholder next year. That's, I think, his best case scenario is that they decide to go the rookie route. Or to the Titans, you know. It's interesting because Will Levis is a big personality. He's intense. Obviously, he's gone all in to get this. How will he be as the clear second guy?
Yeah.
You know, not the second guy to Tannehill when you know he's going to take over at some point, but now you're relegated to being the second guy.
Yeah, you're the clear backup if you're on this roster next year. And sometimes in these situations, Joe, we see it around the league, teams feel like it's better to just cut bait and to move on from that scenario. I mean, given where he was drafted and the fact that you're not paying him a ton of money, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to keep him around and have him as a backup quarterback. But sometimes people do come to that conclusion of, yeah, we'd rather just avoid that situation and let bygones be bygones and move on.
I mean, to me, given the poor state of backups in this league, as we always talk about, whoever that starter is next year, and good luck, Titans, but – you know, presuming it's someone that's better than him, that they think's better than him, and that guy gets hurt, that's not the worst thing in the world to have a Levis, you know? I mean, I think he'll be prepared every week to come in, and he's a guy who can make plays. I mean, yes, he can also turn the ball over, but you could do worse.
So Jeremy Fowler from ESPN putting it out there yesterday that the Titans are planning to make a switch at quarterback. Mason Rudolph will be the quarterback this week. Not necessarily surprising. We talked about it all day yesterday of that possibility. But now that it looks like it's happening, what's your reaction? And what are your thoughts on the future of the quarterback position for the Tennessee Titans? We're going to get to that throughout the show today. Lots to get into later in the program with Paul Kuharsky as well. This is Robbie and Rex Riddle. We'll have more on that coming up next. We're on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores taking on the Citadel at Memorial Gym at 7 o'clock. Tip-off, pregame show starting at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at the Game Nashville. com. Taking your thoughts on the change at quarterback for the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So Levis out, if that means what I think we all think it means, done as the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. So we went through it yesterday a little bit. What does that mean for the Titans as they look ahead here and as they embark on what I like to refer to as getting back into the quarterback wilderness? What's the solution out of this thing? The most, I guess, discouraging, number one, you want Levis to work out because you want high-level quarterback play and you want a chance to consistently compete for a championship in a conference where there's a lot of great quarterbacks here. So that's number one. But number two, another black eye to this, Joe, is if this is the way you're going and you're making the determination that he's not your guy and it's not working and you have to address quarterback – well, that's a resource, be that money, be that a draft pick, whatever it is, that you've now got to allocate to this offseason in addition to all of the other needs that I think we know this football team has, and there are many, at very important positions, right tackle, wide receiver, edge rusher, the list goes on and on and on. So, particularly if it's a draft pick, you're now allocating a pretty significant resource that could otherwise be spent to help build this roster elsewhere that you're going to have to look at towards quarterback now. Now, look, you know, I talk about important positions. We all know quarterback's the most important one. So you can make the argument, well, until you get the quarterback part of it figured out. None of the rest of it really matters all that much. But it would be nice, like, if you had gotten through this season and felt good about Levis. Maybe not great. Maybe not he's our franchise guy, but good enough to come back and see what he's got next year. What could you have done with a draft pick dedicated to edge rusher or right tackle or wide receiver and to build this thing up as high as it could possibly go in one offseason? And now, whether it's free agency or draft pick, you're allocating a significant resource, I think, to the quarterback position.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, obviously, best case by far is, well, best case is Levis is awesome.
Right.
And better case, or not better case than that, but better case than this case, which is the case we're in, is, okay, he's pretty good. You know, give him a better offensive line, give him another receiver, give that defense an edge rusher, and expect him to improve, and okay, now you got something. So instead, you're, like you said, you're going to have to devote major resource. You could even, in theory, you could do what the Falcons have done, which, I mean, I think that's the text line is it's all Kirk Cousins right now. I mean, so you could do what the Falcons did, which is pay someone, him, is what he'd probably be the most viable option, and draft someone. I mean, that might be a little much, right? I mean, that to me is like, okay, so you're still really bad, but you got two new quarterbacks. You got to pick a path there, and then you got to try to convince someone. Cousins has a no trade clause, by the way. Now I think that he would, accept a trade to somebody else. It's a huge dead money difference for the Falcons if they trade versus if they cut him.
Yeah,
but they might just cut him, and it'd be $65 million dead money. Yeah, that's a big number. I mean, the biggest number on record was when they actually cut Matt Ryan, I believe. So, and that was like 40. So, but if you're, you know, let's say that it gets to the point where he's available, why does he want to come here? The counter to that would be, who else would be giving that guy a starting opportunity?
Right. Does he want to continue to play and start in the NFL?
So, you know, if they could sell him on, look, we're fixing this offensive line. I mean, Pollard's really good. You got Ridley. You know, things are looking up despite what the media may tell you. Despite our record, ignore that. Ignore the numbers. Ignore the tape. Things are looking up here.
Thing is, though, like, you're right. I knew as soon as Atlanta made their move yesterday that a lot of what is going to be brought up today on our show is Kirk Cousins. Then go get him. Which, you know, I understand the thought there. Now, the counter to that is he's 36. He's coming off the Achilles last year.
And it's clearly affected him.
And it has clearly really affected him. Now, then you get into, all right, well, what does it look like a year later when you're, you know, a full calendar year plus removed from the Achilles injury? I don't know. I mean, you'd be bordering on 2 years removed from the Achilles injury. So
it used to be that second year is when you actually see someone get more close to normal.
Right. Yeah. So could that be the case with him? Maybe. The flip side of that is he'll be 37. And look, I realize that Tom Brady played till he's 45. Yeah. That is not going to be the new normal. Like, quarterbacks are not playing until they're 45 all over the place.
Right. And Brady did have a knee injury, but it was pretty early in his career. He was able to avoid serious stuff. This is serious stuff at that age especially. And it's clear. I mean, it's like they didn't even feel comfortable passing recently with him. And it just – so it's a gamble. But, again, maybe that what that might do is restrict the market for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's not a terrible option.
No, it's not a terrible option. Like, I mean, I'm looking at Cousins' numbers right now. The interesting thing about this year – is his completion percentage and his yards per attempt are basically the exact same as what they've been the entire career. He's 66.9% completion percentage this year, which is exactly what it is for his career. He's at 7.7 yards an attempt, which his career is 7.6. So those numbers are kind of like right in line of where he's been. Problem is he's turning the ball over all the time. He's got 18 touchdown passes and 16 picks this year, which is just it's an astronomical number for him at this point in the year.
Well, he's got, I think in his last five games, 9 picks and 1 TD pass.
Right.
It's been, I watched one of these games and I'm like, what am I looking at?
Yeah.
I mean, I just, it was stunning to see some of the decisions. So it's weird because he played so well early. So why was he playing so well early, which is closer to the injury and now? But it has to be, to me, the wear and tear of the season and that thing really, right, bothered him. And then if you're the Titans and if you're him, this offensive line and that quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no escaping any rush. It's just if you give him, you know, you give him that clean pocket, you're going to like the results for the most part in his career. But how far are the Titans from giving any quarterback a clean pocket?
Well, and here's the other thing. And I don't pretend to know what's going on in Kirk Cousins' mind in terms of how he views his NFL future. And look, if you know they're going with Penix, let's say Penix comes in here and he just plays great the last three games, and it's clear that he's going to be their starter next year, which it probably already is clear that he's going to be anyway. Okay, so does Kirk Cousins want to keep playing football no matter where it is? Like, is he okay going to a team that even with him is probably not close to being a true contender for a Super Bowl at this stage of his career? Maybe. I mean, you could make that argument about Atlanta, right? Like, was Atlanta really close to being a Super Bowl contender? So maybe he is. Like, maybe it's just as simple as he likes making money, he likes playing football, likes being a starter, and it doesn't really matter where it is for him.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Like, I think when you're talking about some of these veteran quarterbacks, particularly some that have been around for a while, I do think one question you'll have to ask and answer if you're a Titans fan is, okay, so are they really going to want to come here and sign up for a team that's going to finish 3-14 or 4-13 or whatever it is?
Right. And, I mean, you can say, you're right, Atlanta didn't look like a contender, but Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and if you're in that division,
exactly,
you're absolutely like, we can win the division. If you're him looking at the whole thing, you're like, and then in the first round, we're going to take an edge rusher, and that defense will be, what?
They took a quarterback. How about that?
Which, of course, I guess now the Falcons say, well, good thing we did, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see if Penix actually comes in and wins for them. I mean, they're about to blow the division. But, yeah, there's still a big difference between looking at that, because I think a lot of quarterbacks look at that offensive skill set and be like, yeah, I could play with those guys, and looking at this.
Yep.
You know, Pollard, okay, yep, Ridley, yeah. But offensive line is, again, it's just – It's garlic to a vampire is what this offensive line is to a quarterback.
So is Kirk Cousins going to be a legitimate option for the Titans? If not him, what else is out there for the Titans to explore at the quarterback position? We'll get into all that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the quarterback position, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason downtown at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 16 matchup against the Colts, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Jute Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. People throwing out options on the quarterback front, which is going to go on, I'm sure, from now until April.
Where are you seeing this?
On the YouTube chat.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you're not.
I remain locked out.
You remain locked out of the
text.
I remain with all this pressure. You know, what about me, Robbie? I have all the pressure of having to read the text line.
You do? Which, according to what you were talking about during the break, we got some doozies.
Oh, there's some good stuff. Right, you go to the YouTube chat first.
Well, people throwing out Justin Fields.
Yeah,
so,
yep, a lot of that on this text line, too.
So Justin Fields as one of those veteran options. I mean, we've gone through some of the veteran options. There's not a ton of great ones. Daniel Jones was brought up yesterday. My guy Jameis Winston, who I'm only halfway serious about. And then Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields to me, I heard TD and Jake talking about this yesterday. Like, Justin Fields clearly has a lot of talent. That's why he went where he went in the draft. You know, like, at some point, I don't think you look at where somebody was drafted. You look at what they've done in the NFL, and he just doesn't really seem like a winning quarterback to me. Like, Pittsburgh immediately got better on offense, like significantly better on offense, when Russell Wilson came in. And I just don't know. Like, I love the athleticism with Justin Fields. I love the ability to pull the ball down and run and keep plays alive. I just kind of similar
gigantic
to Levis.
Arm.
I don't know that he consistently has the ability to deliver the ball accurately over and over and over again, which is what quarterback is about in this league. Like, you have to be able to deliver the ball accurately time and time and time and time again. And he just hasn't done that in his career to this point.
And on time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing with him, too. Yeah. You know, I heard – I might have heard the same thing. I heard TD say, like, there's a reason he was drafted. I was like, well, sure. I mean, look, I'm so smart about quarterbacks. Like, I was way more excited about what Justin Fields is going to do in the NFL than I was about C.J. Stroud, if we're going to talk Ohio State quarterbacks. So, it shows you what I know. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys get drafted and again, like it's always fun to go through old drafts and look at and forget. Oh my God, yeah, Josh Rosen. That's right. I forgot about that guy. Cade McNown. Oh, sure. Oh, I mean, wow. You could just go through years, decades, and just be blown away by guys that these teams put in all this work and were certain were gonna be great and just completely fell off the map. And that's not Fields, but I think he's probably a backup in this league, like you said, just like Levis. I will say, like, if you said, I'm an unabashed Kirk Cousins guy, covered him from day one of college. He's a fantastic human being, big fan of Kirk Cousins as a person. But if I was a GM and you're like, right now, pick Kirk Cousins in his current state or Justin Fields in his current state, and he has to be your quarterback next year, I still might take Fields.
Maybe.
Just, well, I guess if I'm the GM of this team.
Yeah.
Because I like Fields, then I'm actually going to do one thing I would like to see with Fields, because the Bears didn't really do this. I'd like to see more leaning into what he does well. I mean, like,
I would agree.
You know, like what the Ravens have done with Lamar Jackson. I mean, like, but just because I can't trust this team to protect a quarterback, I don't think this is the place for Cousins. So I might actually take the young Fields, hope that some of that stuff does click in. I mean, how many years – what year is this for him in the league?
Is it five?
I don't think it's the fifth year, is it? I think it's his fourth year, right?
Let me pull it up.
Okay, so it's his fourth or fifth year. I mean, that's enough time.
This is his fourth year.
Yeah, I mean, it's – you know, how many people get – like Josh Allen – took a huge leap, like he took a leap in year two and then a huge one in year three. How many quarterbacks, you know, like take big steps that deep in their career? I don't know, but sometimes they sort of reemerge somewhere and they're better than you realize. Like Tannehill is like that, although again, he was better in Miami than a lot of people realize.
Like Fields wasn't terrible this year when he was the starter. I mean, look, I think they went 4-2.
Right.
So, I mean, they were clearly winning games with him out there now, but you know, the minute Russell Wilson comes in, like George Pickens starts to get unlocked and the offense starts to put up points and the passing attack looks good. I mean, Justin Fields in those six games this year has thrown for 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, and has completed 65.8% of his passes. So again, like it's fine, but I just If you wanted to do Justin Fields as a one-year thing, which I can't imagine it would be anything more than that, at least to start, a one-year deal, see what it looks like for him as a starter, and then if it doesn't work out, you just go draft your next guy. Like, I'm not necessarily 100% opposed to that. I just think if you think that Justin Fields is going to come in here and you're all of a sudden going to be competing for the AFC South, like, I can't get there with that. So right. It depends on what you want. If you're Amy Adams, Strunk, Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan this offseason.
Oh, they're all coming back?
I don't know.
Phillips,
we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Philip on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, y'all talk down on Willis as well. I kept saying in the right situation, he can win games for us. He goes to the Packers, he goes 3-0. Listen, great story for Malik Willis, and he came in here and embarrassed these guys. Malik Willis not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, okay? Like, I'm sorry. And I mean, Justin Fields to me is well beyond him in terms of potential of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's great. It's credit to him, and it's credit to Matt LaFleur, your guy,
the greatest living coach.
You better believe it. Like, to what they did, how they built around him. And he made some big-time plays, man. No question. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So you can say it's talking down on Willis, but we saw him here for these years. Like, this idea that he's gone to Green Bay and he's just totally different player. He's a backup quarterback in the NFL. We said, can he establish himself and cement himself? And I think he has. Good for him. But come on.
Yeah, like, the question with him heading into this year was, can he get to the point where he's a good backup?
Right, and he has, and good for him for winning those games.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't understand why that keeps coming up. Like we were – like, everybody here was missing this soon-to-be great starting quarterback in the NFL. That's not what he's going to be. Someone's saying J.J. McCarthy here. Yeah, I mean, like, McCarthy, well, Hendon Hooker, I don't think those teams are giving them up. I don't think they
will. I
don't
think so either, but the difference is, like – how old's Sam Darnold? Like, Sam Darnold's what, 27?
Yeah.
So
26 or 27.
I mean, look, if Minnesota goes on and makes some deep playoff run, I already think that they'd be nuts to give him up after this year with the way that he's played. So, like, if Darnold's back in Minnesota and this is just what he's going to be now with Kevin O'Connell and he's this type of player, like, what do you do with J.J. McCarthy? Because it's not like Sam Darnold's 36. Like, he's thrown for 29 touchdowns, 11 picks this year. He's completing 68% of his passes, and they, what are they, 12-2?
Okay, but, and I agree, but then, so you have the young guy who's a backup, and you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if he's going to get
hurt. You don't know what's going to happen, but
you don't know if he's going to fall off the table, whatever, right? Why not still have McCarthy?
I agree. I'm just saying, like, Darnold, they may eventually get to the point where they say, you know what, our long-term answer at quarterback is Sam Darnold. It's not J.J. McCarthy.
Could be. I mean, your Packers do this stuff all the time.
They do.
Other people can't do it?
Only
the Packers are allowed to do this?
Recent history would tell you. Nobody else does it.
Well, that is true. I had a text, and I've lost it, and I really wanted to yell at it. All right. I don't know.
This is what happens
when you get locked out of the text line. But, yeah, you know, with Fields, going back to Fields, he was pretty good this year. They won. I like him still. But, like, Russell Wilson goes in, and it's like, it's an actual NFL offense that actually can pass with efficiency and score a lot of points.
Right.
Yeah. And that's you kind of saw the difference, didn't you?
Yeah. And, again, like, Justin Fields, I don't think he's a bad player. Like, he's not bad.
Agree.
But he's not – I just don't know, based on what I've seen from him to this point, that the upside of him turning into, like, not even necessarily an elite quarterback, but a quarterback that consistently, week in, week out, can deliver the ball accurately enough on a consistent basis. And I think what you said is a big point with him, and it was a huge problem with him in Chicago, just not being on time, not processing things exactly the way you got to do it. And, like, at this point, when you're 4 years in, like, do you learn that now? Like, you could – obviously, you know, he's still young enough where you can improve moving forward. But, like, how often do you see quarterbacks really, really get a whole lot better at that, like, 5 years into their career?
Right. Now I remember what I wanted to yell at. Joe from Maryland. You know what? Actually, though, I appreciate this. Let's have some variety of takes. He says, why can't Levis still be like a Josh Allen and take a leap? He's got the same skill set. I know this asks for a lot, but it's possible. So, again, I think Josh Allen, as time goes on, he has been this a great example of, see, look how much you can improve while in the NFL. I think as time goes on, more and more, he's going to be an outlier. Also, I wouldn't say he's got the same skills. Allen is like one of the best. Josh Allen's one of the best running quarterbacks I've ever seen in the NFL. And it's absurd how much punishment he takes and gives out and is fine.
Yeah.
That's not Levis. I mean, Levis is big and physical, and he can get out there and make a play here and there with his leg. That's not – I mean, Josh Allen is an absurd running quarterback.
He's a tank.
Yeah.
He's a tank who, on the run, can be drifting to his right and throw the ball 70 yards down the field on a rope.
I mean, did you see some of the throws he made the other day in Detroit? It was insane.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans quarterback journey that it feels like they're about to embark on. And then at 7 o'clock, I got some things to say on the state of this organization right now. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We were talking all things Titans. Jeremy Fowler putting it out there yesterday from ESPN. Titans are Moving on from Will Levis this week, looks like Mason Rudolph will be the starting quarterback. Feels like the end of the line for Will Levis as the starting quarterback for the Titans. So what's next at the quarterback position? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us later in the program. So there's a ton of different options out there, Joe. How many of them are great options? I don't know. I don't think the list is very long when it comes to great options at quarterback this offseason for the Titans. Now, again, one thing that's hard to predict right now is the draft part of this, right? So if there's still 3 weeks left in the season. You know, the Titans are going to play again against Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville's already gotten them once this year, but that doesn't mean the Titans can't go down there and win in Jacksonville. So there's still some shuffling with the draft order that could take place as they move forward here. Now, look, the Titans lost again on Sunday, and so did Carolina, and so did Jacksonville, and so did New England, and the Giants, and the Raiders. So there was no movement in terms of people below them passing them. So where are the Titans going to end up? Is it going to be at sixth? You know, sixth overall pick, fifth overall pick, second overall pick, eighth overall pick. You know, where they end up, I think, matters in this discussion here in terms of the quarterbacks that are going to be available to them in the draft. So you could go that route. That part of it's hard to predict right now as we sit here with 3 weeks left in the regular season. If it is the veteran quarterback route, which, as you discussed yesterday, I think I'm starting to lean as well to probably be in the most likely option for the Titans this offseason. I mean, which of these guys, number one, inspires any confidence in you whatsoever? And number two, do you feel like could come in and with a solid offseason and with some other parts of the team could get you back in a place where you're competing in your division next year? Is that realistic? This is not a very good division right now, by the way. Like the Texans are not as good as we thought they might be heading into this year. Colts aren't a good football team. We know what Jacksonville is. They're awful. So this is not a good division right now. Can you get to a spot in one offseason with a veteran quarterback where you're coming back next year and you have a legitimate chance to compete in this division?
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. I mean, the Titans, the injury, the whole, you know, do the trainers and doctors need to be fired thing didn't really come up this year, but they still had brutal injuries.
Significant injuries, yep.
Yeah, they had injury. They didn't have as many, but they had injuries to some of the wrong people. So you're gonna get some luck on that front. I mean, they could still have a good corner group. I mean, again, fixing the offensive line. We're so focused on that in this city. There are many, many NFL cities where it's a constant talking point too. There aren't enough good offensive linemen. There aren't enough good quarterbacks. There aren't enough good offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So are you gonna do that?
Well, on that front, real quickly, I do want to get your thoughts on something Trevor Maddich said yesterday. So he was on with TD and Jake, and he was talking about Latham. And he said, you know, he feels like he could be a good left tackle in the league, but he could be a great right tackle in the league. And the idea of moving Latham back over to the right side and then going and drafting your franchise left tackle with your first-round pick this year. What do you make of that?
Well, there's no franchise left tackle in the draft. Like every tackle in this draft, okay, according to the draft people, are like tackle guard type guy. Like there's no like, oh, this is a guy. There, you know, so that's an interesting thought. I guess, yeah. First of all, I certainly trust Trevor Maddich. Trevor Maddich, great analyst. I would trust Bill Callahan, and I understand everybody. Like, oh, Bill Callahan, really? I mean, no, let's talk about his whole career. I would still trust him over Trevor Maddich. Trevor Maddich played. I don't think Trevor Maddich has coached offensive line in the NFL. Bill Callahan does. But, I mean, I get the idea, and that's what he played in college. I guess when you go through this year, and I know it's been rough lately, is it also kind of counterproductive to now be like, nope, now let's go do that side?
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like it's probably easier to find a serviceable right tackle than it is to go get your franchise left tackle now and have him go over there.
Theoretically. It's been pretty difficult to find a serviceable right tackle.
Well, yeah, right. Well, no, I'm not saying it's easy, but is it easier than your franchise left tackle? Like, oh, there
probably.
You go. Plug and play. All right, you go. Especially apparently this draft. Apparently this is not the draft for that.
All it takes is one guy. So, there's no one in the whole draft that could do this?
Well, yeah, that's – we can go through – here we are. We're getting the draft stuff. We can go through the
– We made it.
Yeah, I know. Candidates, but that is sort of the – like there's not going to be – I know like Banks, for example, from Texas, you know, is not really considered that type of guy. So, now, any of them, yeah, could turn out to be good left tackles, but that's the same sort of thing as Latham, right? Which is like, well, he's a right tackle, but he – how about left tackle? You know, there's not like well, like a Lawan or you know, whoever, some of these guys that's like, you know, that is a – I mean, Joe Alt. Yep. Was you knew he was going to be a starting left tackle in the NFL. Or no, wait. No, he's a starting right tackle, isn't he?
He is.
You just never know. You just never know. Someone talking about Sam Howell. My God.
Yeah, I saw him play the other night.
How down bad are you if you're talking about Sam? Did you watch him play the other night, Texter?
I watched Sam Howell play the other night. Cheeks.
Oh.
Not quite buns, but cheeks.
Trevor, though, says all options are buns. Well. Yeah. Let's keep buns going.
Well.
Keep buns alive.
Keep buns alive. Imagine it'll come up a few times.
Yeah,
this off season as it relates to this football team right now. Bottom line is, as we discussed yesterday, you're in a bad spot if you're the Titans. Yes, like is it better to cut bait with Levis right now if you're just convinced that he's not going to be the guy? Probably. Now, what do you do in the meantime? And by the way, the other part of this that we've not really mentioned yet. You also have, let's say that just for the sake of this discussion, although I'm going to change this discussion here in about 5 minutes, let's say for the sake of this discussion that the coaching staff and the front office are all back. Well, the thing that is going to complicate this, if they are, unless there's just clear direction from the ownership to not let it complicate this, there is job preservation mode to think about. Like they are fully aware that if they don't show some market improvement next year. I'm not even saying you have to win the division or get in the playoffs. But if they don't show market improvement next year, I mean, they're going to be out of a job. They're going to be looking for a new general manager, going to be looking for a new coaching staff at that point. So with knowing that, or at least thinking you know that, how is that factoring into what you do at quarterback this offseason? Which also makes me tend to believe it's more likely it's a veteran guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, it's, but again, that's also like, that is where, I mean, how honest are the discussions between Amy Adams Strunk and her employees? Because if I'm Adam Strunk, I don't want, as much as I want a winning football team, like, do all the things, guys. Give me an offensive line, give me a defense, the pass rush, you know, all this stuff. But you also, I don't want things microwaved and then us to constantly be just sort of in between and average at best, right?
Well, I don't either. But, like, I also realize she can say that as an owner. And in the back of my mind, if I'm the general manager, the head coach, it's like, well, that's great. You don't want it microwave. But I also know that if we go through another season like this next year, I'm not going to keep my job regardless of what you say to me right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, then you have those – I mean, that's – I mean, the conversation isn't like, Amy, I don't want you to fire me. But it's like, just understand, like – you know, if we're going with this rookie, like there's probably going to be some pain along the way. And I know there's been a lot of pain already. Nine and 29.
Yep.
Probably not going to bring that. Don't bring that up to her. Don't bring up that number to her.
Just act like that record doesn't exist.
But in the back of your mind, you know, 9-29. But just saying, if we're doing the rookie thing, we're going to do everything we can to build a team around that rookie. But I don't expect a snap of the fingers, and all of a sudden we're, you know. But then if you're Amy, like, oh, really? Well, I just saw C.J. Stroud do it 2 years ago, and I just saw Jaden Daniels do it this year. How come?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are examples that you can point to on that front, no doubt about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of the front office and the coaching staff, we're going to get into that a little bit and how those things will influence quarterback moving forward here. There's something in this whole discussion with the front office, with the coaching staff, all these things that, quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing, and we're going to get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.